Good morning and welcome to worship with the people of Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We have quite a few announcements this morning as we are getting ready to enter into Holy Week starting next Sunday with Palm Sunday. That means that this coming Wednesday evening will be the last Wednesday evening Lenten worship service. My good friend, Pastor Cassie Overcash, at Grace Lutheran Church in Thomasville will be offering the meditation. The link will be available on Wednesday on Facebook and in your emails. Starting on Wednesday, April 14th, I will be offering a Bible study on Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30. It will be held in the Fellowship Hall here at the church, but we will also have a Zoom link available for those who would like to Zoom in. We continue to do drive-through communion each Sunday from 11:45 to 12:30 after the worship service. We invite you to come through and receive the bread and the wine, God's forgiveness and love for you. The next two big announcements are about Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. All of this information is in your bulletin. It's also in the newsletter, which you should be receiving in the mail. But next Sunday, for Palm Sunday, we are going to be offering a drive-through processional. So after the worship service, you'll come through in your car, and as you enter into the parking lot, you will receive a palm that you are invited to wave as you come to the table to receive communion. We are also inviting you to give offerings of your cloaks. If you'll remember, on Palm Sunday, not only did the crowd lay their palms on the ground and wave their palms and lay their palms on the ground so that Jesus and his donkey could walk on them, but they laid down their cloaks. And there are so many in our community who are in need. And so we are asking you to bring your offering of cloaks, of clothing, to offer to those in our community and to offer to Christ so that we can share his love with others. There are a couple of different shelters for those experiencing homelessness in our community, and they are in need of men's clothing, women's clothing. They have children up to the age of 9, and there is someone who is about to give birth in a couple of weeks, and so they are even in need of newborn and infant clothing. They are asking for new or gently used items, so if you want to go through your closet and find some gently used things that you can bring, or you can go to the store. Homeless shelters are always in need of new socks and new undergarments for folks, and I imagine for this newborn baby, in need of some diapers. So we invite you to come to this drive-through processional, offer your cloaks, this clothing, new and gently used clothing for those in need in our community. And the next Sunday, 2 weeks from today, is Easter Sunday. If the weather cooperates, and we're hoping it does, we are going to have an outdoor service here in our parking lot. Starting at 10, the men's group will be offering a breakfast of individually wrapped biscuits. We're asking you to bring your own coffee or juice or water. And then at 10:30, we will have our Easter worship service. We ask that you bring your own lawn chairs. We'll have ushers to help you park and to carry your chairs if needed and to help folks space out. Masks are required, covering your nose and your mouth, because we are going to sing a few Easter hymns as well. If, for whatever reason, the weather does not cooperate, we will live stream the service as usual. But we are hoping that the weather is warm and sunny and that we can gather together to celebrate the resurrection together on Easter Sunday. Finally, we have some announced birthdays and anniversaries. This week, Rusty and Sheila Blower are celebrating their anniversary, and the following folks have birthdays: Rebecca Kepley, Tracy Valletto, Whitney Lohr, Aiden Walser, and Teresa Fritz. Let us pray for these brothers and sisters. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, for those of you who are young at heart, I invite you to come a little bit closer to your screen for the children's chat. I have here a heart. What do you think of when you see a heart like this? Do you think of love? Maybe Valentine's Day? We share lots of hearts on Valentine's Day. What do you think God sees when God looks at your heart? We know that God loves us very much. I think God sees who we really truly are, that God sees our heart for all the goodness that's in our hearts and the kindness. But also when God looks at our hearts, God sees that there is sin inside of our hearts and that we don't always have kind thoughts or kind things inside of our heart. Well, the psalm for today that Mr. Norris is going to read in a few minutes is Psalm 51. And there's a verse in this psalm that you might recognize from another part in the service. When Miss Judy plays the offertory hymn, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," and the words go, "and renew a right spirit within me." Well, those words come right out of Psalm 51, the psalm for today. And so how do you think it is that we get a clean heart? When God sees the sin and the unkind things we think and do in our hearts, how do you think we get a clean heart? Well, in our baptism, God washes us with water and we are given the forgiveness of sins. And our whole life long, all we need to do to receive forgiveness for our sins is to confess our sins. That means we tell God what we have done that has been sinful or that has been wrong or unkind. We confess that to God. And then we ask God to forgive us our sins, to wash the sins out of our heart. And then we repent. And repent is a big word in church. But what it means is that when we ask God to forgive us, when we tell God we're sorry for sinning, that then we repent and we do different. So if we apologize to God for lying, we don't keep on lying. We turn from our lying and we tell the truth. Or if we call someone a mean name, when we tell God that we're sorry and tell that person that we're sorry, we repent, we turn away from that, and we no longer call that person that name. So God washes our hearts clean when we confess our sins, when we ask God for forgiveness and God gives it to us, and then when God gives it to us, we repent from our sins. God does all of this because God loves us so very much that God sent Jesus to die for us, and that Jesus washes our hearts clean. So let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, that you forgive us our sins and you wash our hearts clean. In Jesus' name, amen.
A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. The second reading is from Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Jesus said, Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember the last time I saw my grandmother cry. It was June 7th, 2014. Although she could not articulate it in this way, this was the day that she had come to the realization that she would not be returning to her hometown or her church where she had spent all 82 years of her life, except for the previous 2 months. She would not return to the sweet little apartment that she left in the wee hours of the morning just 2 months prior to be taken to the hospital for difficulty breathing. She would never again drive to the Dollar Tree or to the Carolina Mudcats Stadium or to Belk Department Store. I think worst of all for her was that she knew she would be leaving her beloved children and grandchildren and her last remaining sister behind. Death was inching closer and closer for her with each passing day, and she knew it. It was deeply painful for her, and it was heart-rending for us to watch her and see her so troubled. Even though no one can fully comprehend the depth and breadth of Jesus' troubled soul or his suffering, having journeyed through my grandmother's experience with her, I have a brief glimpse of what Jesus may have been experiencing when he spoke these words in today's gospel text. Now my soul is troubled. We are in the final days leading up to Holy Week. In today's text, Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations, and upon receiving a request to meet with some of the Greeks who were in the crowd, Jesus seized this moment to speak his final public words. After many occasions of Jesus telling his mother and his brothers and all of his followers that his hour had not yet come, on this day, Jesus began by announcing that the hour had come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The time that his entire life had been focused on and that he had been preparing for was now a reality. It sounds strange for us to describe Jesus to describe his death as being glorified. But Jesus spoke of himself like a grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying in order to bear much fruit. And he reminded people again of the cost of following him. You must lose your life in order to save it. Those who want to serve Jesus must follow him. Those who want to follow Jesus must go where he goes and do what he does, and not just in life, but in death as well. In other words, for Jesus and for all of those who follow him, death yields life. After all of this, Jesus then declared, "Now my soul is troubled." The Greek word used here for troubled indicates agitation and disturbance. Jesus, who was fully human, was experiencing similar emotions that any one of us might experience at our impending death. His earthly ministry was ending, as were the close relationships he had with his mother and his brothers, his family and friends, and all of his disciples. His death was becoming very real, and he knew what he must go through before the Father could be glorified. Betrayal by one close to him, mockery, insults, contempt, rejection, shame, humiliation, a criminal's death on a cross, and separation from the face of God. Jesus knew he would endure horrendous suffering and a brutal death. And it was for this reason that he had come to this hour. He didn't suffer for his own sake, but for the sake of others. He died so that the fullness of God's love and God's promises could be known by all people. He knew that what appeared to be foolishness and weakness and defeat in the eyes of the world was and is God's immeasurable love and strength and victory over sin and death for all people. Being a follower of Jesus means that we don't just follow him in his life, but we follow him in his death as well. We are called to follow him to the cross and stay there with him until his death. We're called to witness his suffering, his agony and pain, to watch the blood and sweat ooze from his mangled body. We hold our breath as we see him struggle to carry his cross, and we grimace at the final push of the thorn of crowns onto his head. We want to close our eyes during the scourging and place our hands over our ears while the nails are pounded into his hands and his feet. We feel the ground shift as his body is lifted up from the earth. All of that for all of us. And perhaps now our souls are troubled. And we don't like it when our souls are troubled. We so often do what we can to avoid the troubledness or ignore it, or at the very least get through whatever it is as quickly and as painlessly as possible. And if we're being completely honest with ourselves, as people of the resurrection, we don't like to dwell on Jesus' death. We want to skip Good Friday and go straight to Easter. But we need to resist this temptation. We need to look up the hill to Golgotha and see Jesus on the cross, to witness his pain and agony and the suffering that he experienced. We cannot avoid pain or death, Jesus's or our own. Death was real for Jesus, and it is and will be real for us. No wonder our hearts are greatly troubled. But the good news is that in Christ, God became fully human in order to show us how much God loves us. Jesus is our Emmanuel, and in and through him, God is fully and completely with us. We know all too well that our human condition is one of sin and brokenness. And God loves us so much that God entered as deeply as possible into that brokenness, even to the point of death. And in doing so, Jesus shows us that not even death can stop God's love for us. God's love is stronger than death. As followers of Christ, we know that death does not have the last word. Death does not have the victory. However, for the remaining days of our Lenten pilgrimage and into Holy Week, as we journey with Jesus to the cross, to his death, let us not skip ahead to Easter just yet. Let us dwell with him at the cross and ponder in our hearts and minds all that his death means for us and for the world. Because God's limitless and unending love for us and for all people is most fully revealed on the cross of Christ. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join together in professing what we believe through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. You wash us through and through and remember our sin no more. Make your church a community of forgiveness throughout the world. Give your people courage to forgive. Through them, show the world new possibilities. Bless ministries of repentance and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You fill the earth from tiny grains of wheat to the mighty thunder. With your presence, and you call us to attend to your will for all creation. Grant weather that prepares the soil for seeds, Protect all from violent storms, flooding, and wildfires. Lord, in your mercy. You promise to write the law on our hearts. Guide citizens through the world to shape communities that reflect your mercy, justice, and peace, and give them creativity to work for the welfare of all. Lord, in your mercy. You sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Restore the joy of all who need to know your presence, those who are lonely or feel unforgivable, those who need healing of mind or body, those who are dying, and all who grieve. We pray especially for Gary, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, the family of Bill Roberts, Harold, Michael, Neil, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, and our friends and family, Kenneth Miller, Lynn Helms, Ava Ray Clark, Lamar, Jerry, David Chappell, Pauline Young, Jeff Scheidel, Curtis Yarbrough, Joanne Conrad Kuntz, Brian and Shelley Baker, Deanne Hedrick, the family of Billy Crisco, Sandy Henriken, Pastor Michael Evans, our servicemen and women who are serving us all over the world, those unemployed and who are still seeking work. We also would like to pray for those who we hold in our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Jesus calls us to follow him in life and death. Empower this congregation in discipleship. Equip all of our children, adults, parents, and teachers in faith formation and learning ministries. Give us your truth and wisdom and help us teach us to follow Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. In the cross of Christ, your name is glorified. We praise you for those who have given us words to worship you. With all those who have died in Christ before us, bring us to life into life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy.
Trust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. At this time, I invite you to share the peace with those around you. As we prepare to receive the offering, there are several ways that you can share your offerings and tithes with the Lord's here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. You can text your offering to the number listed in the bulletin. You can go online and set up a regular donation or a one-time donation. You can also mail or bring your tithe and offering to the church office or bring it through to drive-through communion this morning.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give our thanks and praise to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through the gift and faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Together, as we say the mission statement, as United People of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Peace, serve the poor.